Glory to our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Since mid-December, Father Jeremiah has typically made an announcement at the end of the service entitled, Pardon Our Dust. And that's because due to water damage we suffered in mid-December, especially as the water went downstairs, we've kind of got holes in the ceilings, the walls are gone. And I need to emphasize that for anybody who's here as a first-time visitor, or anybody that might be listening online, because that context is important to a full understanding of my message today. For like the Lord's house in today's gospel, this little church in Briar also had some men come through and make big holes in our ceiling. We're working with general contractors to look at options and costs for recovery, but due to the insurance process and other reasons, that work has not yet begun, but God willing, soon. So for those who are not familiar with our current situation, I did want to provide that context and perspective first of all. Shortly after I finish this homily, I'm going to come back out here again, and I'm going to do what's called the Litany of Fervent Supplication. And one of the lines or petitions in that litany is this: again, we pray for the blessed and ever-memorable founders of this holy church. When we pray for the blessed and ever memorable founders of this holy church, we remember the small group of about 25 former evangelicals who met for worship in the living room of a house just down the street from here, who gave their tithes and offerings to purchase this land that we have this church on, with hopes of someday constructing a church temple here. And when we speak and pray for about the founders of this holy church, we also pray for a small group of about 20 Orthodox Christians who had bonded together to purchase a small building, church building in West Seattle. But upon merging with those former evangelicals to form this parish, they then sold that building so that they might form a close-knit community of Orthodox Christians that became St. Paul Orthodox Church, who started out meeting in the chapel of St. Thomas More Roman Catholic Church in Linwood. And when we pray for the blessed founders of this holy church, we remember those approximately 50 people in this fledgling St. Paul parish who gave sacrificially of their time and their treasure to come together in faith and commit to the construction of this holy church that we find ourselves in today. And the faithful members of this parish once again joined together to provide the large amount of funding required to adorn this holy church with the beautiful iconography that surrounds us today. And finally, realizing that the mortgage payments to the bank were expenditures that could be better spent on the ministries of this parish, the faithful believers who serve the Lord in this holy church once again increased their tithes and offerings to pay off the bank debt and to retain those funds for the sacred work and ministries of this church. Without question, this holy church temple that you're in today is a gift to all of you from the blessed founders of this holy church. It is a gift of immeasurable value. As in today's gospel, this holy house in which Christ dwells is where you will come to know Christ, to see his miracles, to be healed, and to be assured that your sins are forgiven. But this holy church is more than just a gift to you. It is also the enduring offering that those blessed founders gave to God as they established this holy place in Briar, Washington. This holy place is a testimony of their offering to God, consisting of their prayers, their time, and their financial treasure to establish this holy house to the glory of God. After I finish that petition about the blessed founders, I say another petition, and that goes, again we pray for those who bear fruit and do good works in this holy and all-venerable temple, those who serve and those who sing, all the people here present who await thy great and rich mercy. And that petition speaks of all of you here today. You are those who bear fruit and do good works in this holy and all-venerable temple. those who serve and those who sing, all the people here present who await that great and rich mercy. That is you and that is me. This holy place truly is our common home, and Christ lives and dwells in this holy house. And as in today's gospel, our risen Lord speaks to you and teaches to you in this holy house. And the forgiveness and healing of Jesus Christ, as he offers it to all, takes place in this holy house. For all who want to draw near to Christ, this holy house is that place to do so. And in this, we are also like all those in the gospel reading today who crowded into a standing room only home to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And like that house in the gospel, this holy temple we find ourselves in now has a need for some repairs and renovation. For all of you who aspire to do good works in this holy and all venerable temple, now is the time for you to act. Not just me, not just Father Jeremiah, and not just the parish council, but all of you here today that have chosen to make this your spiritual home. This is the Lord's house, but we are one family that has been trusted, with his sacred duty to cherish and lovingly care for this holy house. There are some churches where all the power and all the decision-making resides with the wealthy old members of the parish. But that is not and never has been our experience here at St. Paul Orthodox Church. We all of us, have a special place in this parish. As our patron, the Apostle Paul, writes, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there slave or free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We truly are all one in Christ Jesus. As we all face the days ahead, as we work together to repair and restore this holy house established by our blessed founders, we must come together as one in Christ Jesus, and like the founders, sacrificially contribute according to our means to join with our brothers and sisters to restore this holy house to its full beauty. It would be very easy for all of us to wait for some wealthy donor in the parish to write a check and pay for all the repairs and all the improvements needed. But if that happened, you all would be deprived of something that provides profound spiritual edification. I know as the treasurer of the parish, I've often spoken to you in the role of the money guy in the church. But my words say you are not coming from the money guy at St. Paul's. My words are those of one of the original parish founders who is sharing today what our experience has been in building and maintaining this beautiful spiritual home. And I'm encouraging all of you, regardless of your financial means, to not let this sacred opportunity pass you by. Like the original founders, this is your opportunity to step forward in faith and make a sacrificial offering to God and to restore this holy house as a gift to all of us here today and to all that will follow us here in years to come. Even if your financial situation only allows you to donate $5, make that a sacrificial offering to God and join with those who contribute more to restore this holy house to the glory of God. As of tomorrow, April 1st, Thomas Millett will be our new parish treasurer and the money guy in the church. And he'll be sending you all a letter that explains more fully how you can help with the costs of restoring that we face in this holy place. So I'm not going to go into all the details now, but that letter will be coming to you. And if you felt really motivated, you could put a check in the box today and write building restoration or building repair on it. But you can wait for the letter to come too. As I reflect on this time and the work that lies ahead, the example of how we can and we should do this together is also found in today's gospel. The central aspect of the gospel reading was that Christ healed the paralytic and allowed him to walk again. He restored him to his full health. The paralytic did not pull himself into the house on his own. Neither did one single person single-handedly drag that paralytic into the room. In today's reading, four men each grab a corner of the pallet and they bring their friend into the house where Jesus is. Our Lord praises the faith of those four men, and because of that faith, the miracle of the paralytic's healing takes place. Without those four men joining together in love for their friend, this miracle would not have happened. As we come together to restore our Lord's home to its full beauty, let us do so in a loving unity like those four in the gospel. As we join together to carry the burden of this work, let one corner be carried by those with large financial means, but the adjacent corner carried by those with limited financial means. Let one corner be carried by the older members of the parish and the other corner carried by the younger members of the parish. Let us all strive to ensure that all of us play a part in this sacred task, and that we use this occasion and this opportunity to express our profound love for this holy house and to those who have made sacrifices to build this holy place, and to especially show our love and our devotion to the master of this house, our Lord, God, and Savior Jesus Christ. The gospel reading today ended with these words. They were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." As I contemplate how we might evaluate ourselves and how we might gauge how well we come together in unison to restore this holy temple, it's these concluding words of the gospel today that I believe tell us how to do that evaluation. For all of us who do good works in this holy and all venerable temple, we should join together to create a beautiful and fully restored church temple, filled by a loving and holy community that leaves that first-time visitor feeling like they truly did enter into the Lord's house. We should pray for and labor to create a place where people experience the presence of Jesus Christ and his teaching, his healing, and his forgiveness, just as those disciples in today's gospel did. Then those spiritual seekers surely will walk out the doors of this holy house, amazed and glorifying God, saying, "We never saw anything like that." Beloved brothers and sisters, this is a sacred calling and opportunity that lies ahead for all of us. And finally, there are many of us here this morning that have parents, grandparents, family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, and others who today, in their own traditions, are celebrating the holy resurrection of our Lord, God and Savior Jesus Christ. May we all share in their joyful praise and worship of our risen Lord and proclaim, "Christ is risen." Amen.